Mikayla Davies, you're in a rather unusual array of shows, but most notably, you're in The Changeling. Did you feel a little Macbeth when you were cast for the part?
Absolutely. I think there are some similarities. One of the main differences, I'd say, is that Beatrice Joanna starts off as this young woman and takes such a huge arc and journey and ends up in a place perhaps not dissimilar to Macbeth.
Middleton is supposed to have edited parts of Macbeth in his day, but this was a very violent time in England. Did you do much research for this whole period?
I did. You know, the tricky thing is when we're taking a Middleton show and we're setting it in a different era, as Jackie Maxwell has done, she set it in the 1930s in Spain, it's hard to get caught up too much in the time in which the playwright was writing in and now the new time that it's set in, because you have all these different lenses. So I did enough research to understand the context in which he was writing and how that work was being perceived, but I was also wanting to take in what life was like in 1930s Spain, because that was going to be the actual lens in which we were presenting it, and so trying to find a balance of all that information.
Did you know anything about Franco-Spain and the Spanish Civil War?
I'd known a little bit about it because I was in a development process for a play, Blood Wedding, that they were doing at Soulpepper Theater, translated by Guillermo Verdecchia, and so I had started to do a little bit of research about that time, so I had my way in.
I was in Spain in 1976 when Spain voted on democracy to get rid of the last stages of the Franco regime, and it was a very strange time. When you do a show, I mean, when they sent you your offer to be here at Stratford this season, and they said you'll be doing Middleton's The Changeling, did you say, what?
Well, I had auditioned for the part, so I didn't say what by the time I got it. But the play was completely unfamiliar to me. I hadn't studied it in theater school or come across it at all. So it was a challenge at first to try and find my way into this text and get inside the mindset of this character, absolutely.
Are you sure you want to be inside her mindset?
Well, in playing the part, I absolutely do, yes. I recognize that she isn't to many people necessarily a sympathetic character, but I think she's a fascinating one. Middleton has created an incredibly strong, powerful woman with an enormous amount of agency, and he's writing in a time where there are many female characters that have no agency. Many of them we see in Shakespeare's plays, so it's really a privilege to take on a role like this.
Isn't that a little bit stereotyped, the backstage, kind of backroom, manipulative woman? While the men engage in whatever they're engaged in, the women are manipulating the man into doing as you do with the man who kills the prospective husband.
I don't see her as a stereotype at all. I think when we meet this woman, we see a young girl who's incredibly inexperienced, who is living in a patriarchal society, and her father is forcing her to marry somebody else, and all of a sudden she meets this man and instantly falls in love, and she falls in love the same way Romeo and Juliet fall in love. It's instant, and we believe it, and we buy into it. And then she wants to marry him, and so she's trying to figure out, what am I going to do? It's not pure ambition that's driving her. It's not pure villainy. It's love. And she gets lost, and she makes some terrible decisions. She operates in what I would call tunnel vision. She doesn't think of consequences. She's rash. She's incredibly smart, but she acts quickly because she's forced to. And she ends up turning into what many people would consider quite a villainous character. But there's a journey there. She doesn't start off like that. So I don't think she's a stereotype at all.
Is part of it because she's a rich daughter of a guy running the castle? He's the seneschal of the castle. She's never had to face reality before? Is this part of a clash with reality when she suddenly decides, I want to marry this guy, and Dad wants me to marry that guy, and I want this guy?
Well, sure. I mean, there's no precedent for it. She hasn't. She grows up without a mother figure. We learn that in the text. And so there's been nobody around her to teach her how things work. And so this is her first brush with love, and she wants what she wants. And she thinks, well, why can't I have it?
That's kind of in a sense, I suppose, a rich person's or powerful family attitude towards something, as opposed to maybe more currently just sending the engagement ring back.
Right. Well, sending the engagement ring back was absolutely not an option for her in that time. The father, Vermandero, played by David Collins, has many lines in the text that make it very clear that she has to marry the man that he chooses. So politely declining, unfortunately, is not an option. But yes, absolutely, she is a spoiled and wealthy girl. Jackie Maxwell, our director, talked about her as being entitled but not empowered, which I think really aptly sums up her circumstances.
When you read the script the first time, how long did it take you to understand that this really is a 16th century play?
How long did it take me to understand that? How do you mean?
Well, the social attitudes, not empowered sort of thing, that this is, in a lot of ways, a completely, utterly different society and power structure. You're a young woman in an age where you have choices that Beatrice Joanna never is going to have, she thinks. Is it hard to move you to take the transporter room to that other time?
That's a great question. For women, that's really the gig in classical theater. We're constantly being asked to perform roles, living in a world where women have very little rights. So it wasn't a foreign experience to me. I've done it before, but absolutely I find that's a challenge. I'm quite politically active in my work and in my politics, and I'm a strong feminist. And so there is a phase in the rehearsal period where I have to reset my brain and think, okay, I'm not allowed to have this. I'm not allowed to ask for that. These are really my given circumstances, and step into that patriarchy and embrace it, because I'm telling a woman's story within that.
After doing an entire season here, do you want to do Macbeth, or do you want to do a light comedy to reset your brain?
Well, I'm very lucky, because within the season, I'm not only doing The Changeling, but I'm also in Timon of Athens and The Madwoman of Chaillot, and I'm playing a few supporting parts in Timon of Athens, small little bits, but in The Madwoman of Chaillot, I have an entirely different role, who could not be more opposite from Beatrice Joanna, this lovely young woman called Irma the Kitchen Girl, who falls in love with a young man and open heart. And so being able to play those types of different characters within a season, sometimes within a day, I think creates a really nice balance. So I'm open to whatever adventure comes next.
You're relatively new to the business. Is it different to come to Stratford and get the rehearsal time that the festival gives performers and gives shows, and especially working for somebody like Jackie, who's done this before?
It's a very different thing. I was lucky enough to spend a few years at Soulpepper Theatre, which also has an extended rehearsal period compared to most theatre companies in Toronto, where you can really just be getting 2.5-3 weeks if you're lucky. Soulpepper often does 4 to 5, sometimes 6 weeks, so I had had my way into a longer period. But Stratford, there's really nothing like it, to be able to spend months in the rehearsal room. And you're working your ass off, you know, you're really, really, really working. But to have that time to let the characters settle, and you dream about them and you wake up about them, and you're just kind of living with them in their bodies for so long, it's incomparable.
People like Albert Schultz and some other people who started Soulpepper worked here for a long time and understand the values of long rehearsals. When you were getting ready for the season, how long did it take you to be off book and knowing your script?
Off book is something that has never been a problem for me, knock on wood. I'm very lucky that I happen to learn lines quite quickly. I love it if I don't have to sit down and memorize my lines. My favorite way to learn lines is just I've rehearsed it so many times that it just becomes second nature. I can sit down and learn a script when we're doing understudying work, and there's a lot of understudying work that happens at the festival. I do really sit down and try and drill it, but I'm lucky. It comes pretty quick.
One of the interesting things about this season here at Stratford is Kate Hennig has another play on stage, and she has a play at Shaw, which is, there aren't many people who have shows at both places, but she solved the problem of getting herself acting roles by writing plays. Are you at all interested in going that way?
Absolutely. I'm so happy you mentioned Kate Hennig, because I'm going to dinner to her place tonight. yes, I've also created work for myself as a director, and I do dramaturgical work with my writing partner, Polly Fokayev. I've absolutely started writing theater and developing some TV series. So I think, you know, to be a jack of all trades right now is really one of the best ways in to have a long, fruitful career.
How many auditions for next season in Toronto or wherever have you already done?
Well, this year, Stratford hasn't announced next year's season yet, because they're still in talks about what they're going to do with the Tom Patterson Theatre, so things are a little bit backed up here, but I've done some auditions over the past couple months for shows in Toronto, and I'm holding auditions for shows I'm directing, so it's all starting to happen.
You're on stage, right, with all of your shows now. I mean, Madwoman Shiloh hasn't actually opened yet, but you're out on stage. Does that simplify your schedule?
Once Madwoman of Shiloh does open, my schedule will be significantly simpler. Right now, we've got lots of 12-hour days coming up with a show in the afternoon and then rehearsals in the evening, so we're still all systems go with the late openers, but once all shows are open, yes, it will be nice and breezy.
You're young, you can do that, and then you can go out dancing till 2 o'clock in the morning or whenever the bars close here in Stratford, and probably some of the veterans say that's not a long-term plan.
Yes, I imagine they would say that. I try and keep my dancing till 2 in the morning, just, you know, a couple times a month. I am young, and I do have a lot of energy. But I also have many, many projects on the go. So while I'm completely immersed in the world of the plays at Stratford, I've got projects that I'm developing and conversations I'm having with directors and producers and writers. And so my whole life is encompassed by this work.
At what age did you decide, this is what I'm going to do?
I was quite young, and I ended up in a drama class in elementary school, and I was asked to do this little improv, and the thrill I had in becoming this other person who was experiencing all these things and having this character to be a channel really, really struck me, and so that was a big interest for me. And then I went to a fine arts high school, and I caught the bug and haven't looked back.
So you didn't understand the improv scene in Chorus Line?
Well, yes, I mean, there are many things in Chorus Line that ring true for actors, of being asked to sort of, you know, think on your feet, and Yeah, there's a lot of that rings true.
Once the situation about the Patterson settles down here, are you going to go to Antony and say, I'd really like to do this role, or are you just going to wait and see what happens?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm a young actor, and I'm still really new to this business. This is my second season here, so I don't know if I'm quite in a position to be telling Antony what roles I'd like to play, as lovely as that might be. But I think absolutely I'll express my interest once the season is announced if there's something that I think would be the right fit.
After Changeling, do you want to do Macbeth somewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to play Macbeth. I'm really interested in women taking on roles that were written for men in classical theater to equalize the playing field a little bit.
Well, over the years, Stratford has had some very strange play schedules because they'll be doing a couple of these Shakespeare's with a lot of guys in it, and you wind up having to find a play with nothing but women, which they've actually done here, to try to keep the company kind of even.
Yeah, Kelly Nestruck wrote an interesting article this morning in the Globe and Mail about the gender imbalances in classical theater, and that's a real struggle for big institutions, right? Because although, you know, Stratford's been really great at making changes. Last year I was lucky enough to be in Breath of Kings, where I got to play the Dauphin of France and Catherine, the Princess of France. So we're making huge strides, but it's a difficult thing. There are audiences that aren't interested in those changes yet, and we still need to appeal to those audiences. So it's tricky. We have to take the leap.
When you get up in the morning, do you go out riding your bicycle, work out, run 10 miles? How do you stay in physical shape for this stuff?
I do none of those things, Mike. None of them. I have a bicycle that I left here last season, and it's still in a friend's garage. I haven't even reclaimed it yet. I walk a lot, but to be honest, rehearsals can be so physical, and the Changeling especially was quite physically demanding, and so I found that just by being in rehearsal, I was getting quite a workout. In Timon of Athens, I'm in a dance, and so that can be a bit physical as well. And yeah, I probably should develop an exercise regime, as I'm saying this out loud. It seems pretty pathetic. But right now, it's stress that is keeping me in shape.
You're in The Changeling, which is set in almost the pit of the current Tom Patterson Theater, which may change, but you're moving constantly. Is it difficult to get into a role where, because of the demands of the physical theater, you can't just stand there and come up with your lines. You have to move the way the thrust stage here is in the festival as opposed to the proscenium stage at the Avant. Is that tricky to adjust to?
It was tricky, yeah. I mean, the Tom Patterson for last season and this season has been set up in the round, so which, as you mentioned, does mean that we constantly need to be in motion as actors. But in the set of The Changeling, we had these beautiful arches, but that presented another challenge of we need to be in motion even more, because if we stand still for too long, we're going to be obscured by half the audience. And so it created a really exciting energy and pace for the show that I think Jackie, that was intentional on her part, that we're always moving and these characters are never stopping to think. They're in constant forward motion. So I think it lent itself really well to that piece.
Thank you, Mikayla Davies.
Thank you so much.